A very good day to all our listeners. Thank you for tuning in to our APCDA podcast. This is season 5, episode 9, our final episode to conclude 2025. And with me today is Felicity, and I am really very honored to be able to speak with her today. So I had the privilege of working with Felicity over the past year on our podcast, and she continues to inspire me with her positivity, clarity, and deep expertise. So with over 30 years of experience across banking, public sector, and higher education, and more than a decade as an intercultural career and leadership coach, Felicity brings a rare blend of insight, authenticity, and global perspective. So her strength-based positive psychology approach empowers professionals to navigate career transition, sharpen leadership skills, and thrive in a new cultural environment. So it is definitely an honor collaborating with someone so dedicated, so focused, and genuinely very uplifting. So without further ado, I'd like to invite Felicity on stage, my virtual stage, and get her to introduce herself. Hi, Felicity.
Hi, Sam. How are you going?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling so happy and honored to be able to interview you, and so glad that we crossed our path. It's December, perfect month for gratitude and reflection. So Felicity, maybe can you just share with all of us, who are you as a person deep down? What fascinates you and what drives you?
Well, I think it was a pretty good introduction that you had there for me, so thanks for that. I do like to think that I'm somebody that really wants to have a positive impact with people, and you used the word positive before. I'm an optimist, generally see the bright side of any situation. I'm also a great planner. I'm always thinking ahead to the next thing. I would say I'm a very independent person, and I'm really focused on achieving my goals, but also helping others to succeed. And I guess overall, I just really want to make the world a better place in some small way, you know, just with my bit of a contribution.
That's really cool. And what drives you to always have this overarching goal that you would like to make a positive impact to the people around you, to your community, in whatever capacity that you can?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's very intrinsic. It's really very much inside me. I think because I've had personal experience of career transitions, besides the obvious ones of finishing school, maybe finishing university, but I've also experienced redundancy. I've experienced expatriation. I've experienced returning to my home country. I've changed careers. And I think early on, I had an experience of redundancy when I was only 24. And that experience, there was a career practitioner who was allocated to the people that needed to find another job. And I remember some of my colleagues just were very angry about the situation and just refused. And I thought, no, I think this is going to be really helpful for me. And I think just having that personal experience when I was quite young, and then having all these other transitions, sometimes they were ones that I myself made happen because I decided to move back to Australia, for example, or some others, like a contract might not have been renewed, was not my choice. But having that personal, that lived experience, I guess, drives me in my work that I do today.
So on this topic, what are you currently working on? What problems do you solve? Who do you help? And what do you...
Yeah. I mean, you sort of talked about it in the introduction, but yes, essentially I work with individuals, but I also work with groups. And the group side, which wasn't so much touched on in the introduction, was about, it's about facilitation. So I've been a facilitator for about 30 years with my career. So I facilitate groups and help groups of people who work for organizations that are going to, like, typically they're Australian, who are going to go and live overseas for a short or a longer time, and help them understand Australian culture and how we might be very different in some respects to the places that they're going to, so that they can be really mindful of their leadership and their communication style, collaboration style, so that they can succeed in their mission, whatever that might be. So there's quite a lot of facilitation about that. But I also work with individuals who come and find me through various means. They might have an interview and they need interview skills training, or they might need some support with applying for a job. I might review their resume or their job application. And others, it's about clarity in their career. They might be like me. I've been through a number of changes in my career and I've thought, well, what's next? And so I also work with people about their career clarity. So getting clarity on what it is they want to do next, and also confidence to help them get there.
Wow, that's really a very diverse group of clients that you work with, and of different demographics and different needs as well. What's something that you really love about what you do?
It's quite satisfying, right? Because it's the sort of job where you might maybe meet with people a couple of times and then they go and have an interview and they feel much more confident about their interview performance. And if they get the job, so much the better. So you can get some very quick personal reward from it. I've sort of been there and I've done that, and it's sort of similar to what drives me, in that you can see the impact that you're having quite quickly. But I'm also a coach, and on the coaching side, coaches are very much not telling people what to do, but really helping people find their inner resources and other resources so that they're able to manage these situations themselves in the future. So that I love that sustainable nature and that feeling of self-efficacy that the sort of support that I give provides.
Okay. Can I ask if you have always known that this is a career path that you will embark on? How do you get started?
No, not at all. But I have been fascinated with careers probably since I was about 15 or 16. I certainly thought I might do it, but it took me a long time to get there. Like many of us in this sort of work, we end up do other things first and then we find our way through to working careers. But when I was in high school, I was an okay student, but there was no real clear set career path for me. I was much better at humanities subjects. So I just really didn't know what I might do in the future. And I used to spend a lot of time in we had these career reference centres or resource centres, and I spent a lot of time reading through what I could do with the types of subjects that I liked at school. And so I did that. But it's funny because early on, you know, I thought I might like to be a diplomat, and I thought one day I might like to be a career counsellor when I was at university. And I did both of those things, but I didn't start with that. You know, so I loved the careers. When I was at university, I had to work a number of part-time jobs just to keep myself afloat. So I was always in the career centre because they had a board with the jobs advertised, and I would always talk to the people there. And I said to them, how can I get a job here, when I was graduating? And they said, I'll go off and get a lot more work and life experience. So I said, okay. So I did. So it was really much later, after I'd had a career in banking, mostly in HR, but also in retail banking, then a really long career in the government. Oh, actually, in between the two, I nearly did go into careers, like in the job centre, the government job centre then, but then that didn't happen for other reasons. But I then had a job, a long career in the immigration department, where I got to live out that dream of being a diplomat. And it was only when I decided that I'd probably done everything that I needed to do in that career that I spent, maybe 6 months considering what was next for me. That was one of those planned career transitions. Then I remembered how much I love careers and was so interested in it, and how I'd tried 20 years before to go and study in this area. But back 20 years earlier, the only people studying and doing career development were school teachers who were becoming like school guidance counsellors, not available to me. I wasn't a teacher. And then 20 years forward, I could go and study. And then I said, oh, that's right, that's what I want to do. And then suddenly there was a market. Career development had become much broader than high school, and right through to, you know, private practice and working with adults and individuals like me. So suddenly, you know, my interest had finally caught up with the market. And then I went off and did a Master's of Career Development and, you know, finally moved into that, starting with the university sector. But I also had my own business, and I started that 11 years ago in Malaysia when I was living there. And then I moved on to Vietnam, and worked in the career center and the university there, and then continue my business back here in Australia. So it's been there a long time, but it didn't happen until probably 11 years ago.
I see. I think instead of your interest keeping up with market, it's the other way around. The market is keeping up with your interest. You were too forward thinking 20 years ago, and the market probably wasn't always ready for career development at large scale. So you mentioned that you were always fascinated about career, and it was at a young age, 15, 16. I'm curious. Mm. So kind of a child were you growing up? You know, is there any particular interests, activities or exposure by your family that got you fascinated about this space at such a young age?
Mm-hmm. Good question. I think there's not a link, but let's see. As a young child, I was quite a shy child, which is pretty different to me these days, but a shy, the youngest of three. My parents were both pharmacists. And, you know, seeing and experiencing their careers, I realized that wasn't really for me. And I wasn't that great at science at school either. So that wasn't a possibility. In fact, none of us got into pharmacy or any sort of science. I loved sports. So I loved swimming and netball. I probably just had a very small group of friends. And like I sort of said before, that there was no one subject or one sort of career path that opened to me. So I think that it was really just my own exploration around what I would do after school when I finished school that just led me down the path of exploring careers. And I, to this day, and that's why we're on this podcast, right? So interested in people's career stories, but coming from a fairly traditional family, both parents working in the same field, my options, I guess, were so much more open, and there was no particular expectations on me about what I would do post school. And that was sort of nice with my parents not to put any expectations there. And I guess I really got my start in careers in the banking was when I was finishing high school. I realized I didn't want to go straight to university. I was a bit over studying by then. So I said to my dad, I'm going to work for a year at least. And he's like, okay, that's fine. And then he was talking to me and he knew that I had that interest in overseas and other cultures and working overseas, because I'd wanted to be an exchange student when I was in high school, also around that 15-year-old mark. And I was not successful, so I didn't get that chance. But my dad said, well, maybe join a big organization like a bank, because they might have jobs overseas in the bank. And I thought, okay, well, that's a good place to start. And so I did start that. So I think the career stuff was just out of needing to know what to do with my life, and then just found how fascinating it is to hear people's stories and to experience it yourself.
Okay. Sounds like you were very deep as a child. I would imagine a young girl, 15, 16, would be interested in many other things except careers. And there you are thinking for yourself and exploring opportunities of like what possibility are there out there. I'm so glad to hear that your parents are so supportive. Can be quite hard to come by if, let's say, they aren't so supportive, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, it also is probably linked to me being independent. Like I really felt, you know, when you finish school, you need to get a job so that you can support yourself and make a life for yourself. So it's sort of part of my culture, my family, that generally, when you finish school, you leave home, which is different from many of our listeners who come from Asia Pacific. And so I knew, you know, that I needed to find the money to do that and needed some sort of a stable job. And even though banking didn't pay that much, I had a pretty modest life, you know, when I finished school, and I had a Friday night job after the bank finished just to give me another $20 for play money on the weekend. But it was, I think it's linked to that independence then. Just needing to find my own way in the world.
I managed to catch that you took a year after high school before you go to college to kind of figure out what you want to do. That was also very forward thinking. They are taking a gap year. It's only
It wasn't so common back then.
I'm pretty sure. Like, how did the gap year went for you in that period?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just applied for that job. I got the job in the bank. I also moved into a flat with a guy who I didn't know. So I think it was just a year just to experience work And I had that Friday night job as well. And then on the weekends, we might go to the park. We didn't have a lot of disposable money. So you really struggled to save much money in that year, but just to cover your costs and hang out with friends that I knew from school and, yeah, just go to the park and not, we didn't have much money to do anything much, but it was really just experiencing and learning about how to work with other people. And in the bank, people from all walks of life and actually different cultures as well were working in my branch. And so it was really just me learning about myself and my place in the world of work and how I might fit in. And I found, yeah, that I fit in quite well and could get on with people and customers. And I had worked in my parents' pharmacy. So I had some, you know, when I was a teenager, so I had some customer service experience, but it was really just me trying out things and seeing what I was good at and just doing that for a year and having a year's break from study. But I did go and learn typing because it's back in the day on typewriters. So I learned typing for about 6 months of the year, one or two nights a week. And I guess just prepared for my future. And after a year, I had decided that a year was enough, that I was ready to go back and do some study. So then I went off to university.
Sounds like a very experiential gap year that you took. And secretly, I do hope that parents do allow their children to have that time to explore what really works for them and what really excites them. Yeah. So up to now, you know, you have been working, you have been coaching, you have been helping so many individuals. What is the most important career decision to date?
Okay. I had to think about this one really long and hard. It's a very good question. So there are a few. I think the first one, so when I finished high school, I knew what I wasn't good at, but I just wanted very much when I finished high school to align myself with my interests and my strengths, whatever I did. So that was the first thing. And then when I lost my job in the bank, the next bank after I finished university, and then the position was made redundant. And at that time, I was really focused on climbing the ladder in my career. And that experience reminded me that probably climbing the ladder is not really what I want to be doing. I want to have roles where I personally impact people and I'm a bit more of an individual contributor or a specialist in a few things rather than be a generalist. So, you know, I think just saying to myself, reminding myself that's not about climbing the corporate ladder for me. And so then when I joined the government, I did join on a graduate program where you're sort of expected to climb the ladder, and I probably could have, but I was very much focused then on trying to get roles overseas, to work overseas, because I had not done that when I was the exchange student. And so I just needed to get to the levels that enabled me to do that. And also I discovered by chance that I could deliver training and be a facilitator. And being a shy child, I never thought I could do that. I was not a public speaker or a debater. I was a bit of an actor at school, but I was, you know, that's not me. That's me playing a part. So to discover that I really enjoyed delivering training and then and just follow those sorts of things, the things that I'm good at that align with my strengths and my interests, was really the things that have been really important. It's really guided me, I guess. The North Star thing is I knew then when I finished school, I typically wanted to do things aligned with my skills and interests, that climbing the ladder wasn't that important and the personal impact was much more important. And so all of my decisions in careers have been pretty much been related to that.
Indeed, like when I'm hearing you share, it's not a one particular incident, but broad value, a value system that you have embodied inside you, whereby you're constantly realigning yourself. The work that you do, you're constantly realigning yourself to your interests, your strength, your values, and you're constantly shifting, you know, like you're driving and
yeah, I told you I'm a planner. I'm looking ahead all the time.
Okay. Well, on that, it's like the of the agenda. Since you are such a great planner, you're constantly thinking ahead. How do you make sure that you stay in the moment as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think for myself, I mean, I've got all my lists of things to do. I know that what I need to do, but I've also just yesterday wrote my list for things that I need to do next year. So that's already grounding me in next year. I think the important thing that we often forget is taking time to celebrate our successes, whether they be big or small. I think that can ground you in the moment. And I think you're right. By your question, you know, when you're always looking to the next thing, we probably don't spend enough time doing that to say, well done, you know, pat yourself on the back or take that time just to enjoy what you've achieved. I can probably do a bit better on that, but I think I'm doing quite well. But yeah, I'm very much future oriented. I know that.
But I love it when you say take time to celebrate success. I think it really allows us to pause for a while and just, you know, fuel up, you know, just to top up our fuel so that we can go further and faster. What's next for you, Felicity?
What's next? Well, of course, I've got a plan. You know, I'm looking ahead in the next few years, I think, to work with people that are preparing for retirement or newly retired, to support those people, because the modern version of retirement is not sitting in your rocker chair and just waiting for your time to be up. It's so much more active than that. And I think, again, that work around meaning and purpose is so important, that there are people that have decided to retire or they've been forced to retire, but they have still so much to give and they would still like to be able to do that. So working with that cohort who, you know, to help them identify what's next for them and what are they good at and what do they love doing, and then how they might be able to contribute that skill or that knowledge or expertise for the benefit of the community. And I've got a plan of a program in my head. I haven't written it yet. I don't know where the funding will come from, but I've got some ideas. I'm a bit of a gatherer of information too, and I spend a bit of time thinking about it. So I have this plan maybe in a couple of years' time to develop that program for people of that age level. And that should be a nice gig in my sort of semi-retirement too.
I love that. I love the term active retirement rather than just sitting on your rocking chair. And I really look forward to your program. I think it will be very meaningful for a lot of communities and society. For one, Singapore is a super aged country, so you'll be very useful for the people around. Okay, now basically you went through so much in life. I know it's not fair if I were to kind of like force it on you on like one thing that you learned in life, but if you have to share with us what you have learned in life, what would that be?
Yeah, that's a big thing. Maybe we'll talk, you know, specific to careers then. I mean, I think what I've learned and what I also sort of try and impart to for some people that, you know, like me, can also be introspective as well as active, that just get started. I think that some people just need to take the first step. We spend a lot of time thinking and considering our options, but for me, I don't regret that the first thing I sort of did was just to get into a basic job in the bank. Like I just got started in my career, and that just that momentum keeps you going, and then you learn certain things, and then it all, you know, then I got another job in another bank when I finished university, but in a different field in HR, and then the redundancy experience then led me to work in the government because I wanted a stable job. Then it led to the overseas work that I always wanted to have, and then eventually led to the careers work and, again, working overseas. But it all starts with that single step. So I think for many people, you're not going to know that plan looking ahead. No one's got a crystal ball, but just start somewhere. You know, it might not be the perfect job. There's a lot of stuff I didn't like about that job, but there are always good things as well that you take from any of those experiences. So I think it's about that first step. I think nothing you do in life is wasted. I really believe that there's connections between everything I do and the networks that you build along the way with various people are also so valuable.
Yeah. So, I mean, you answered my question because you say, just get your first step done. You just do it. And I actually wanted to ask, how do you make sure that you can handle whatever that is coming your way? And you just say, nothing you do in life is really wasted. So that's a very strong mindset. That's a very strong growth mindset.
Yeah. And the growth mindsets, I think that's really helped me in my career too, in more recent years, because that's really probably only been around in 20 years since we really probably talked about that. But that's helped me a lot. I'm not saying my career was perfect. I'm not saying I didn't make mistakes. Absolutely. But it's the growth mindset that I've had to learn, being a recovering perfectionist like so many of us are, is that I could always still see I learned something from every experience, good or bad. You know, that feedback is a gift and that none of us is perfect. We're all doing the best we can with what we've got and just being a bit kind to yourself. I think all of that's really important and just knowing your values, knowing yourself, that self-awareness piece is so important to be able to make good decisions for yourself, particularly around career and where possible, not live with regret. Sometimes we may still regret some things, but take the positives out of it to keep going and focus on what's important to you and your family.
Of course. Yeah. Be kind to ourselves, celebrate success and just do it.
Yeah, just do it and do it the best you can, but don't just do the best you can, but don't have to be perfect about it. Just keep moving forward and moving towards the sorts of things that you'll think you want to do. I think intuition has a part in this as well. You know, I didn't know that I was, when I joined the bank after university, I went into HR, which was then called personnel management because this is a long time ago. Why did I choose that? Only just because I thought I like people. And so you're working with people in HR. Just as simple as that. You know, no great thinking, no thoughts really about some of these career decisions. Just a lot of it was on intuition and making the best of what I had and being really persistent when something was important to me. When I was working in the government, it took me 3 goes, which is 3 years because you only got a chance every year to get the overseas posting, the diplomatic posting. And every time I was unsuccessful, I had to regather and get the feedback, think about how I could improve, but also consider, is this still something that I really want? Because it's not coming easy. The door keeps closing on me. And every time I come back and I think, no, this is what I've wanted for years, really since a teenager. I wanted to be an exchange student. Didn't happen. Now I'm working for the government. I could be a diplomat. Is that still something really important to you? And you go, yeah, it is. Okay, well, let's improve on that and come back again next year and do better. And it was the 3rd year. And in fact, I also went and took a year living in Japan to make myself more competitive in quite a tough market because I'd never lived and worked overseas. So some of the feedback I was getting was, are you adaptable and flexible enough? You haven't lived and worked overseas. So I thought, okay, I'm going to have to do it and prove it to them. So I went and took a year off and went and worked in Japan. And then the 3rd time, I had a phone interview for rural Japan in my kitchen and I finally was successful. So it's a lot about persistence. It's about that focus. It's about regrouping and really thinking, is this still something that's important to me? And if it was, then just come back and give it another go. And like you said, that growth mindset. So it's things don't always come easy to me, but if I want it enough, I'll get there in the end.
I really love that. It sounds like a very good career advice. You know, sometimes we have job seekers who are constantly, or even career professionals or people who are going through a transition, trying to look for something and then they just get a lot of rejection. Some could not bounce back from rejection. Some, they keep thinking that was what they want. And I think you mentioned a very good point whereby you need to reevaluate whether that goal is something that you want before you re-strategize again. I thought that was really powerful.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Felicity. So before we end our session, is there any last words for our audience?
Oh, my goodness. I think I've probably said everything I want. I guess the last thing is just always keep learning. You know, that for me, today I was meeting with some people this morning and they said, oh, you've been busy. And I said, oh, yes, but a lot of my work is not just paid work, but volunteer work such as APCDA and other professional development. I said, oh, I'm doing this new program next week. And so I keep active, even if it's not all paid work, but professional development and volunteering, I think it's really important. I really love having lots of different things happening in my life. And so I'm always learning. I learn from the people we interview. I learn from people I just meet and just have that open growth mindset to learn from other people. And I think never stop learning.
Yeah, absolutely right. I always remind myself that we are always in beta. We are always constantly evolving. So thank you once again, Felicity, for your time, your dedication, your sharing and your insight. Continue to wish you all the best in the next phase in 2026. And I look forward to hearing about the program once you have written it.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. It's been really great working with you on the podcast this year. So thank you for joining us. And I look forward to your progress next year with the podcast and your new co-host.